Ben Standig writes for The Athletic. He's got a podcast as well. It is called Last Man Standing. And, of course, he is our insider covering the Washington Commanders. He's with us every Friday and Monday at 12 noon. Today is game day, their first Monday night game since 2022. Their only Monday night game of this upcoming season. And really, their only high-profile spot, unless they get flexed into something a little bit later on in the season. They've got a Thursday night game. Everybody pretty much plays one Thursday night game at Philly in mid-November. But I don't want to bury the lead here. You texted me yesterday your prediction, but I want everybody else to hear it. Do you give them a shot tonight? What do you think happens?
Kevin, thanks for having me as always. I mean, obviously there's always the basic stuff, right? You know, you got to win the turnover battle. I think their margin of error is such that, you know, they can't afford to lose that. You know, that's a pretty basic thing, but you know, they're going to have to run the ball. Obviously we know that's the strength of this offense. And the good thing is it's probably the weakness of the Bengals defense. They're really thin right now at defensive tackle because of injuries and so on. So, you know, it does kind of blend nicely there. But on the other hand, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to stop Joe Burrow in that passing game. You know, I think the T. Higgins part of this might be a little overblown, that he's back only because he just hasn't played, right? And, you know, it could always take a little bit of time to get back to speed. But the fact that you have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase against going up against a secondary that, you know, I think we're all very concerned with the cornerback situation. So they're going to limit their big plays. And I think one way to do that is by controlling the clock, run the ball, don't turn it over. So if they can do that, they've got a shot. But, I mean, I would, on the surface, despite the Bengals being 0-2, I'm still going to view them as the better team and a team that, you know, we were talking about as a potential, as this playoff team, but maybe, you know, AFC title contender. And, you know, I'm not going to let the 0-2 part of it change my mind completely. So it should be an interesting game, but potentially tough one. But run the ball, control the clock. And that's going to give Washington their best chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were right there with a chance to beat Kansas City last week at Arrowhead. Right. And I agree with you. I talked about it earlier in the show. I think there is a path here tonight. It's that. They can run the football against a team that hasn't stopped the run and is banged up front. And, you know, we've seen many times, you know, the underdog possess the ball, keep the big play potential on the sideline for much of it, and get it done. We'll see. So, with respect to tonight defensively, Cleland Farrell is out. Emmanuel Forbes, I'm assuming, is out. I guess we'll see a lot of Johnny Newton. Who else? Jamin Davis plays tonight, and how do they get to Joe Burrow with any sort of pass rush without sending eight people?
Yeah, so, you know, when we talked to Dan Quinn about this, obviously on Saturday, their last practice of the week, when we learned that Farrell was going to be out, and he was asked about Jamin Davis, but
he's got the only sack of the year, right? The only two sacks of the year?
Yes, they will have a game tonight where nobody on the field will have had a sack this year going into the game. He was asked about Jamin Davis. Now, I think Jamin Davis will be active this game, just, you know, purely from a body count standpoint. But he pivoted to Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who was active last week when Jamin Davis was down, their seventh-round pick. Clearly, he's not going to have a ton of experience, but he's got good length, good speed, athleticism. So, you know, they clearly like him. But he also cited Johnny Newton as somebody in that conversation when he was asked about Jamin Davis. And something I thought about going all the way back to the spring and summer was, if we're having questions about what's going to happen with that other defensive end spot opposite Dorrance Armstrong, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of, you got to get your best guys on the field, right? And I wondered, right, we just haven't seen Johnny Newton play, obviously, but is there a world where they play Johnny Newton with Daron Payne and John Allen? And if you're not going to get a pass rush anyway,
right?
Yeah, so I kind of think that's something I'm going to look for tonight. I talked about this on my podcast. I think I was saying more maybe Newton on the end, but it probably be more Daron Payne moving outside if they do that. But whatever it is, to me, that, you know, if Johnny Newton's ready to go, and they seem to, Quinn said he'll be playing more snaps this week. I don't know if that means, you know, full complement or just more than 12 that he had last week, but I think it makes a lot of sense, right? Because, I mean, what else are we talking about here? The other options are, other than playing Frankie Louvu there sometimes, which I think will happen as well, you know, we're talking about a seventh-round pick, a guy who's just transitioning to defensive end, and sort of Dante Fowler, who they've been using a little bit more at linebacker. So it's not like they have, like, a ton of options. So I'm really intrigued to see if they really do go with that three defensive tackle look with one of those guys kicking outside.
So what happens behind those guys tonight?
Well, I mean, you know, the secondary situation. I mean, look, Bobby Wagner coming off a very good performance. And Luke,
I'm talking about the secondary.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm saying both he and Luvu had the type of aggressive games that they're looking for, Joe Witt's looking for. But the problem then is what goes behind there. And, you know, look, I mean, Benjamin St. Juice was another guy that Joe Witt cited this week as giving them the aggressive level of play that they're looking for. And, you know, no Igbinoghi. He's been okay, but, you know, they brought him in. It looked like he'd be more of a slot guy. Now they're going to have to use him. They've been having to use him more on the outside. I thought, you know, Michael Davis last week looked pretty rough against Malik Nabers, which isn't really a criticism of him. Everybody is. But, you know, nonetheless, he looked in tough shape there. I don't know. I mean, if they don't get a pass rush, I don't know how the secondary is going to stop Chase and Higgins. And not to mention, you know, the Cincinnati really used their tight ends effectively last week in the passing game. I would like Mike Gesicki, who's with them now. So I think again, if they don't get a pass rush and they can't put Cincinnati in some long down situations, you know, second and 10, things like that, it just looks to me like it's going to be a very difficult time to stop them. You know, maybe because of the tight end situation with the Bengals using a lot of 12 and 13 personnel, maybe this is a game where you lean into more three safety looks, right, with Jeremy Chinn. I'm forgetting here.
Percy
Martin
Butler.
And Quan Martin, Percy Butler, something to that effect. Maybe that's how you attack
it. Chinn, Martin, and Butler were on the field a bunch. I mean, that three safeties is a possibility. I also just was wondering if we're going to see Igben Ogeni more than we saw Davis last week.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like my sense is they've got to have a little more trust in him just based on what we've seen. And, you know, I mean, again, he was a guy that they used, that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn had in Dallas a little bit. They brought him over here. But again, we're talking about a guy who, you know, he's just been a kind of guy the last few years, and to have him be a prominent starter right now, or a prominent high rotation player, kind of says where they're at here. So, yeah, they're going to have to find ways, you know, whether it's, you know, it's not like you're going to fool Joe Burrow with design or anything like that, or scheme or coverage. So it's going to have to be flat out play better. And that's not going to happen if you don't get that push up front. And again, stop their run. You know, they've got Zach Moss in the backfield. We know Washington has not been able to, slow the run down too much. And also, lastly, you know, Washington is dead last in the league going into week two in terms of opponents' third down conversion percentage. So they've got to get significantly better there. And again, not to be the broken record, but if the pass rush isn't there, I just don't know how they're going to be able to improve on all these things.
Yeah, the one thing I am interested in, and I don't have the numbers, but you might. I think they've played a lot more man coverage than zone coverage this year. And they didn't necessarily do that all the time in Dallas. It seems to me like it's at least 70-30 man to zone, if not higher. Do you know what those numbers are?
I don't off the top of my head. I will look it up as soon as we're off, and I'll text it to you so you can share. Yeah, I mean, there could be that. I think that part, like, I know, look, if they have another tough game defensively, people will, you know, instinctively, you know, get mad at the coaches and you know, sure, go for it. But I think part of the issue here has been they can't do – Quinn and Joe Witt can't really kind of do what they want, which is blitz guys from here, there, and everywhere, because they don't have the cornerbacks to hold up, right, in those situations. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe they are doing – a little bit more man, but, you know, right now I just think it's a matter of figuring out what you can do that's going to slow anybody down. They haven't had a ton of success right now.
Look, their only chance, it would seem, tonight is they're going to have to put themselves at risk on the back end by sending extra man pressure, which they've done a lot of here in the first two games. And they're going to have to do it more tonight because Burrow will wait a little bit on occasion. I'm not saying he's a holder of the football, but he doesn't mind, you know, waiting that extra hair to get the bigger play. You can't let him do that. I mean, I would imagine they're going to generate some exotics tonight. I think they've played too much man coverage with the amount that I think they've blitzed, which seems pretty high, but I don't even know what those numbers are through 2 weeks. I think it's always so ridiculous to take two-game sample sizes and think that that is going to hold up for sure. But we'll see. So, Jaden Daniels tonight. What do you think the biggest takeaway teaching points have been for Cliff Kingsbury and Tavita Pritchard and David Blau and the whole group with Daniels through two games?
Well, I they've talked a lot about how, you know, he makes a mistake, you discuss it, and then he doesn't kind of make it again. And, you know, sometimes that can sound fairly, you know, coach speaky, right? What I'm intrigued to see is, you know, we saw in the first game, there was a lot of that fight or flight instinct going on whenever he was getting a pass rush. That's why he took off a bunch and had those, you know, 16 official carries. And then in the first half against the Giants was somewhat similar. He was sacked four times in the first half, I think in part because he was, you know, bouncing out of the pocket. But in the second half, I thought he got a lot better of staying in the pocket. That throw to Noah Brown down the middle late, I think, was a really good example of that because he was getting pressure from all sides. Is this an example of how he is recognizing the mistakes and fixing them? Because I think if that's the case, then I think for Cliff Kingsbury, this goes a long way towards what you can look to do, especially getting the ball down the field. I think if he's able to look, and since then he's got some pass rushers, Trey Hendrickson, one of their defensive ends, he's been absolutely crushing people this year. They've got Sam Hubbard. He's really good as well. So they'll get a pass rush on Washington from the edge. And if Jaden's able to stay in the pocket and, you know, keep looking down the field, I think that's just going to open up so much more for what Kingsbury wants to do. But simultaneously, I think it will be a really good example of the fact that he is, in fact, learning quickly and not making a lot of the mistakes over and over again. So I think if that happens, that goes a long way. If not, if it's a little, you know, again, we all understand Washington, there's still some concerns about their offensive tackles. But if Jaden's able to do that, again, I think it shows a lot about his progress, his development, but also what Kingsbury can think he can do if he doesn't think his quarterback is going to keep bouncing outside and he's got to get rid of the ball quick, right? We had that comment from Cameron Taylor Britt, the Bengals defensive back, saying he looked at what he's seen of Washington's offense, looks like a college offense. Obviously that's probably a bit much, but the point would be they are looking to get rid of the ball fairly quickly. And that's not a crazy idea, of course. You want the ball in your playmaker's hands, but I do think part of it also is because Jaden Daniels was certainly early struggling with, you know, recognizing maybe where the pass rush is coming from, but also what to do when it came. So I think that's a huge deal both for him tonight, but also for the coaching staff to understand what they can get away with in terms of play calling.
Talking to Ben Standing, of course, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Give me a player who we have not seen produce, not that we haven't seen him on the field, or maybe your answer will be somebody we haven't seen on the field a lot, that is on the verge of stepping up, whether it's tonight or in the next few weeks, but that we'll be talking about a lot more. Because I have one in mind. I'm wondering if you have one.
Well, okay, so Terry McLaurin wouldn't count, but I would imagine there's got to be some more emphasis about getting him the ball. We certainly asked about it a lot, and they talked about it, and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, fell on the sword, saying they got to do a better job of doing that. But, you know, again, I think this is not a – this guy played last week and had a prominent role, but I think this may be the game where Noah Brown is officially the second receiver. I mean, what we saw last week was pretty impressive from him for his first game, but the fact that he's got – that size, he's a really good blocker. I just think that's going to be so key for this team, especially with where they're at. And I know that we're all sort of like, hey, you know, Noah Brown, this is a good addition. But, you know, there's still Zacchaeus, there's still De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey and all that. But I think, you know, sooner than later here, I think Noah Brown's going to establish himself as the number two. Again, I don't mean number two like Gary Clark to Art Monk, but a guy that can be more effective in these ways. And I also think if they end up doing more 12 personnel, which I think is potential for, you know, for both blocking purposes, but also, you know, if they don't feel they have three receivers that can churn out there all the time, you know, I think sooner than later we're going to see more Ben Sinnott. I don't think it's necessarily this game, but I do think, you know, he's an effective pass catcher, and you got to find weapons wherever you can. The receivers have been fairly inconsistent, and in getting, you know, getting the balls underneath a bit more, I think, is where Jaden Daniels has had some of his more success. So again, I don't know if it's this game, but I think sooner than later we're going to see more Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, I like your Noah Brown, obviously, and I think that that's, you know, based on just listening to Kingsbury talk about him, listening to Quinn talk about him, listening to Jaden talk about him. I thought it was notable that when Jaden was talking about him, he emphasized the route running and the separation that Noah Brown got and has gotten since joining the team. But I thought of Sinnott and McCaffrey both. McCaffrey was open last week for some big plays and got some separation. And they ran a play for Sinnott. I don't know why Jaden didn't throw it to him. But that usually is a sign that they'd like to get the ball into his hands to see what he can do because they think he can do something with it. I still think Ertz is a big part of what they're going to be trying to do. All right. Prediction time. Go ahead and tell everybody who you predicted and why.
Yeah, well, you know, look, like I said, the records are if we had said before the season started one of these teams would be 0-2 going into this game, nobody would have picked the Bengals. But here they are. You know, this week, I believe, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, of the seven teams that played before, you know, Thursday or today that were 0-2, the 0-2 teams went 6-1. I don't put too much stock into results, especially 2 weeks into the season. I can't eliminate the data that we had. What we thought, like you said, 2 weeks is not enough information. The fact that the Bengals almost beat the Chiefs last week, you know, except for a late pass interference that cost them, I still view them as one of the better teams in the league, and I just don't see Joe Burrow going down 0-3. So, you know, I think the Bengals win this. I think for Washington to keep it close, you know, beat the spread, essentially, they're going to have to be able to run the ball and not turn it over. But at the same time, I just think the Bengals feel poised to have a big game on national TV. So regardless of how the, you know, sure, I don't see Washington getting, you know, blown out from the jump, but to me, I've got it like Bengals 27-17. Again, if Washington wins the turnover battle, we'll have another story, but you know, until proven, like even like last week, like I know the Giants just won yesterday against the Browns. Good for them. But it's not like I saw some Washington team just completely crushed. Yeah. They scored on every offensive possession, all field goals. The defense was giving up a lot of yards. If the Giants don't have their kicker get hurt, Washington may easily have lost that game. So I got Bengals 27-17 on the national stage. But, you know, as I'll repeat over and over again, as long as Jaden Daniels looks the part, I'm not too worried about the record, and I think he will. So I think that, to me, is going to be the positive. But, yeah, I got the Bengals getting the W and covering.
All right, 27-17 Cincinnati, Ben has. All right.
I understand that's smelly. That doesn't smell good. I get that, but.
Yeah, I've got Washington plus the number. I mean, they're the sharp side, gambling side. Doesn't mean they're going to win outright. We'll see what happens. I mean, Atlanta was the sharp side last night. They didn't cover. Had a chance to cover. Probably should have covered if the Chiefs refs weren't out there, but. That happens sometimes with the defending two-time champs. I'll talk to you later. Enjoy it. Are you in Kentucky right now?
I am in Kentucky. I'm looking out my window of my hotel. I haven't seen too much of it. I was debating going to Lexington, but it's a little too far away. But I'll go into the city a bit. I got to get Skyline Chili, right? That's the move when you're here?
I guess. I think it's kind of overrated. I'll tell you what's great in Cincinnati is Grater's Ice Cream. They actually now sell it. You get it in a lot of places, but that's where Grater's Ice Cream was born, in Cincinnati. All right, brother. I'll talk to you later. Enjoy it.
See you, man. Bye.
Ben Standig, everybody. When we come back, we'll finish up the NFL games we didn't talk about. Denton will get to a quick college football weekend recap as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.